Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's sermon text comes from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is anyone else in this room maybe set a little bit on edge given the ending of our gospel lesson for this morning? If you don't remember, or if it's not ringing around in your head quite like it is mine this morning, this is the line that I'm sort of talking about. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." This phrase, I don't know why it's quite sticking with me in the way that it is. Well, actually, maybe I do. A couple of weeks ago, I was teaching confirmation class, and we were having a session, we were talking about pastors. And I gave them sort of at the beginning of the class all the, you know, sort of theology that we as Lutherans believe about pastors. But then the other intent of that specific lesson was to give the students an opportunity to just ask me about my job and what I do, because I know that they have questions, and I want to give them the chance to actually ask them so that I can answer. And a lot of the questions are sort of like you might expect, you know, how much do you get paid and what do, you know, in a normal day? Yeah, all the really important stuff, right? But there's also some very insightful questions that the students will ask and pretty interesting. And one young lady asked a question sort of along these lines. I'll confess I don't remember it perfectly. But she said, someone else had asked, you know, "Do you have any friends who aren't Christians?" I said, "Yeah, I mean, of course, I have quite a few friends, in fact, that aren't Christians. At the very least, they don't go to church or they don't, you know, actively believe, you know. Even some of them are atheists," I said. And she asked me, "Well, when you talk to those people, or when you talk to people who you don't know, do you tell them that you're a pastor?" And I answered her very strongly, right? I said, of course I do. That's why I wear this thing like to the grocery store, you know? I don't do anything for which I would be ashamed. And you shouldn't either, by the way. But the fact that she honestly asked this question is, I think, very telling, not just about this young lady, but about the society that we live in, about the generation, in Jesus' words, that we live in. It's very telling of the temptations that each and every one of us face each and every day. But this line that is weighing heavy on me this morning comes at the end of the gospel lesson. So why don't we sort of back up and review what was going on and what's happening and see if that informs us at all about why Jesus says what he does say. So the lesson begins with Jesus taking his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And this is that sort of famous passage where Jesus gets the reading from his disciples about what the crowds are saying about them. Who do people say that I am? He asks them. And they say, well, you know, responses kind of vary. Some people say you're John the Baptist, and others say you're Elijah or one of the prophets or something. That is sort of to summarize. They know you're somebody, you know, somebody important, but they don't know exactly who you are. Which is when Jesus turns the question more pointedly on his disciples and says, who do you then say that I am? And St. Peter, quite famously, steps into the breach and says, you are the Christ. He boldly confesses and announces who Jesus is. He has identified him for who he is. And he says it proudly. Well, following this confession then, Jesus turns to a different subject, a different topic altogether. And for the first time in St. Mark's gospel account, he tells his disciples just what it means that he is the Christ. Just exactly what's going to happen to him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He explicitly tells them, now look guys, I'm going to Jerusalem, and there all of the religious leaders are going to reject me and worse than that, betray me. Put me on trial, have me beaten and killed. But on the third day, I will rise again. And it's somewhat telling that right after he says that, St. Mark wants us to know, and he said this plainly. He wants to make it explicit. Jesus is not talking about these things to his disciples in parables. He's not being cryptic. He's saying precisely to them what he intends to do and what it really means that he is the Christ. And as you all know, this doesn't jive with St. Peter. He's not having it. And in fact, as a result of Jesus saying these things that are going to happen to him, he takes the Lord himself aside. Now remember, just a couple sentences ago, St. Peter has proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ. But now he's taking him off to the side and rebuking him. Jesus, how foolish. How could you say that things like this will happen to you? You're the Christ. There's no way that you'll be betrayed and beaten and die. That's beneath you. To which Jesus, as you all know, I'm sure, famously responds, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. St. Peter knows that Jesus is the Christ. And he has a certain set of ideas about what that means exactly. He thinks he knows who the Christ is and what he is going to do. He thinks he knows God's word and what it says. And so when God's word incarnate tells him differently, it doesn't work out so well for him. He's brought into stark conflict with himself and his own ideas. This is when we get to the last part of the gospel lesson. Jesus calls the crowds around his disciples and he says to them all these hard things that he says. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? And then finally, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And this sentence is challenging because, guess what? St. Peter's not the only one who lives in an adulterous and sinful generation. He's not the only one ever who was tempted to be ashamed of our Lord and what he has done. Each and every day, all of us are tempted to be ashamed of the Christ. Wait a minute, you're telling me that God's word says that we should value life, whether it's really young or really old? Everybody knows that's just a ball of cells. You should be ashamed of yourself. Does God really expect that you will not be, you know, on Amazon all the time, shopping and buying things and finding meaning there? But everyone else is doing it. What, do you think you're better than us? You should be ashamed of yourself. What, you think that marriage is about men and women? What, are you some kind of a chauvinist? You should be ashamed of yourself. We are constantly faced with statements like that, whether explicit or implicit, that tempt us to be ashamed of our Savior. And I think if we're being honest, all of you know how strong of a temptation that is. So brothers and sisters, what are we to do? How are we to fight this strong temptation, especially given Jesus' harsh words about the consequences of such a temptation? And I would say to you, the best thing that you can do, maybe conveniently, is what you're doing right now. Coming to this place, gathering here, to hear of who our Lord is and what he has done and is doing for you. To hear that, in fact, our Lord created all that has been made. Everything that is or was or will be is his, now and forever. That he reigns over his creation in glory and might and power and mercy and love. That in fact, because of our own sinfulness and weakness and brokenness, he descended into this creation. That he took on human flesh, that he lived and taught and died for you, that he rose again to conquer death once and for all, and that he will return in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, that he has sent down here to this place his Holy Spirit, that comes into this very room, that forgives us our sins each and every week, that strengthens our faith through his word, that places the gift of eternal life into our mouths. Brothers and sisters, this is the truth. And it is nothing for which you should be ashamed, today or ever. Let's pray. Most gracious Holy Spirit, we thank you for all of your good gifts, for the amazing blessings that you have poured out upon us. We thank you especially for the gift of your word and your sacraments. We ask that you would use them in our lives today and always, that you would strengthen that faith and trust that you have called us to in Jesus, and also that you would use these blessed gifts to strengthen and empower us to never be ashamed of our Lord and what he has done for us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son, always one God, world without end. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.